Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed by the preaching of the word of God. The word of God is the glad tidings, the good news of what Jesus did for you and I. The word of God is the fulfillment of the promise of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word is the person of Christ and the fulfillment of the promise of God. I've taught on this episode, on this platform before, on this podcast before, on how that the Word, the phrase the Word, as used in the book of Acts, was predominantly used for the gospel, so that you were not considered to be preaching the word until you were preaching Christ. Hallelujah. That's why the man Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything amongst you, except Christ and Him crucified. That is the word. Hallelujah. The word, the message, is the gospel of Christ. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus says we should go into the world and preach. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The man Paul at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4, 1 to 5, gave us a summary of what the gospel is. Hallelujah. The gospel captures the essence of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again, and is ascended at the right hand of the Father. So that's the gospel. That's the word we are to take to every man, to the nations of the world. I welcome you once again to another time in the word of God. Hallelujah. And then, you know, we've been taking a study on forgiveness of sins, and then we started seeing what to do if and when I sin as a Christian. But then today, in the spirit of Christmas, hallelujah, of course, I'm not just being led by my senses. I have a leading to, you know, in the spirit of Christmas, give an exhortation on, you know, the Christian at Christmas. What should be the believer's disposition towards Christmas? Hallelujah. And then it's still in line with our study on forgiveness of sins. So we'll come back to what to do if and when I sin. But let's just take a study. Let's see. Let's receive an admonition, a charge, an exhortation, instructions in righteousness, you know, for what to do, our disposition towards the celebration or the feast of Christmas. Hallelujah. Firstly, I would like to say that every year, there's always a debate on whether or not believers are meant to celebrate Christmas. Every year, is it Christmas or Christ? Is it Christmas or the Christian faith? Is it Christmas or the Bible? Praise God. And then, of course, historically, Christmas really doesn't have a root in scriptures. Praise God, historically. Now, Christmas has been around for a long time, and people, you know, when you browse, when you look at the origin, sometimes you could even be able to link it to some pagan tradition or pagan, you know, celebration and all of that. But then, just like at Romans chapter 14, a man allows every day to the Lord, another man says one special day to the Lord. One man feeds on vegetables and does not eat meat. Another man eats meat. Bible says to not despise one another in such matters. In this matter of Christmas, the truth of the matter is, if I celebrate Christmas, I'm not celebrating Christmas with the mindset of a pagan. Praise God. I'm celebrating Christmas with understanding. It's the same thing with Easter. So in this matter, actually, we may like to put the argument of whether it is right to celebrate Christmas or not, we may like to put it to rest and look at more purposeful ways of celebrating this season. Now, those who argue against Christmas are not entirely wrong in their argument, because most times they argue against it from the standpoint of the history behind it. Number two, from the standpoint of how people indulge, you know, in this festival, how they indulge in this season. Hallelujah. And, you know, that's the crux of my admonition today. So while it is true that it wasn't you and I that came up with the idea of celebrating Christmas, dedicating a particular day to celebrating Jesus' birth, we know that Jesus, for us, is the reason for every day of our lives, every time, Praise God. It's not just the reason for this season. It's the reason for every day of our lives. We live for Jesus. We exist because of him. We live our lives for him. We are dead to self, dead to the world, dead to the law, and we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, Bible says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge us, that if one died, then all died. And he died, verse 15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So Jesus is the reason for our everyday living. Praise God. So we didn't come up with the idea of dedicating the day, but it's not bad to have a day, dedicated to celebrating Jesus' coming, acknowledging him and all that. It's just the way of the world, actually. People dedicate days to different things. I mean, we have Women's Day, Men's Day, International Girl Child's Day, and all that, all kinds of days. So it's just the custom of the world. And then we can take advantage of this season. Praise God. We can really take advantage of this season to reach out to a lot of people. So what should be your disposition to Christmas? Hallelujah. You and I must realize or remember that there were things said concerning the birth of Jesus. There were things said leading to the birth of Jesus. There were things said on the day he was born into this world. Praise God. And the truth of the matter is, many people have not heard these things. Many people do not know the reason why Jesus even came. Praise God. Just find somebody enjoying during the Christmas season, enjoying the rice, the chicken, the drinks and all that. And then he's just enjoying. You ask him, why are you celebrating Christmas? He says, Jesus is our brother. I just like Jesus. I like that guy. He's so great. He said, what exactly do you know about Jesus? He said, Jesus is my homie. He's my dog. He's my, you know, all kinds of funny statements you hear from people. What do you mean by Jesus is your homie, is your dog? Are you out of your senses? Now, I'm just overreacting. Praise God. But then the point is this. Such things come from people who happen to be celebrating Christmas. They've embraced the idea of celebrating the birth of Jesus, but they know nothing about why Jesus came. Praise God. They know nothing. So the believer must remember that this is such a time to tell people about the essence of his coming, the reason for his birth. Hallelujah. We're not just celebrating him because he's a great man. He came for a mission, his particular purpose. He was born for a reason. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 2. Praise God. In fact, Luke chapter 1 at the first. See the things that Mary said leading to the birth of Jesus while she was carrying the baby Jesus in her belly, in her womb. Look at the things she said by way of prophecy. At Luke chapter 1 verse 46, Bible says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their imagination, imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Praise God. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. You know that at this point in time, Mary was carrying the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. So Mary is saying that this is the time of the fulfillment of the mercy that God promised to Abraham. So Christmas is the time when Jesus was born into the world as the beginning, the unfolding of the final fulfillment of that which was spoken to Abraham, that in you the whole families of the earth shall be blessed. So Christmas reminds us of the coming of Jesus to begin the fulfillment of this promise of God. Hallelujah. So that boy, that girl, that woman, man, that person at the mall, that, you know, security person, that driver, that Uber driver, the cab driver that is going to be driving you this season, you know, everyone at all that you're going to be coming across are people for whom Jesus came to show the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Are people for whom Jesus came to die. Are people for whom Jesus came to fulfill the promise of God made to Abraham. Realize this, in the sight of God, men are only blessed in Christ Jesus. That's the essence of the promise made to Abraham. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, realize that the nations of the earth are materially prosperous. Realize that the nations of the earth are doing great things. Hallelujah. In fact, some of the nations of the earth where atheism is flourishing and prospering and expanding and spreading are nations that are doing great things in you know, with respect to ethnic success, ethnic accomplishment, ethnic, you know, achievements. People are inventing things, innovating things. People are coming up with mind-blowing and staggering innovations. Hallelujah. Yet, it is only in Christ such nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. It's only in Christ the individuals, the citizens of such nations are going to be regarded as blessed in the sight of God. That is the blessing that we find in Christ Jesus. And that is the significance of Christmas. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise of God. Mark my words, I said the beginning of the fulfillment, because the birth of Jesus alone cannot save. Praise God. If you believe that Jesus was born into this world, which many people believe, and that's what I want you to see very carefully, that the world is celebrating the birth of Jesus. But because the world does not know the significance of his birth, the world is missing out on the true blessing. Hallelujah. The world is missing out on the blessing, on the fulfillment, on receiving the fulfillment of the promise of God. Because it's not just about the birth of Jesus. We must tell the world that the birth of Jesus was for a purpose. It was leading to a grand fulfillment. It was leading to something bigger. Praise God. There's something bigger in the scheme of things. It is beyond his birth. It's about his death and resurrection by which men receive the gifts of life. Hallelujah. So the significance of the birth of Jesus is that it marks the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise of God made to Abraham. Hallelujah. The promise of God is that in Abraham, the nations of the earth will be blessed. Glory to Jesus. The nations of the earth will be blessed. So you and I as believers, as Christians, must not be carried away by the festival period, must not be carried away by the eating and the drinking. Praise God. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Guys, food for the belly and the belly for the food. God will destroy both it and them. Hallelujah. This is not a time to just recline in your chair and just be enjoying, visit the cinemas and just be watching movies and be carried away. It's a time to roll your sleeves and announce the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ to the world like never before. You know why this period is very critical? Because at this time, a lot of people are going to come together. Some of your distant cousins, your relatives, your, you know, extended members of your extended families generally. You're going to have friends who like to hang out with you and all that. See, we don't close our doors to such folks. But in the midst of the hospitality, in the midst of the rejoicing together and, you know, marrying and celebrating, we must strategically inform them about the essence of the birth of Jesus. Hallelujah. We must inform them. Praise God. This is a time to get your extended family members to get them saved. This is a time to get them to understand the message of the gospel. Some of them have been going to church for many years, but they don't even know why Jesus came. Praise God. They don't know the essence of the work of Jesus. We must let the world know that, see, the birth of Jesus is significant because of his death and resurrection, because of the work he came to do. We must announce it. We must sound it as an alarm. Glory to Jesus. That this is not an ordinary child. There were things said about Jesus leading to his birth. Praise God. I mean, not many children have things said about them while the parents were pregnant. Not many children have that. Now, even if we prophesy about your own child, or you prophesy about your own child in your own womb and all that, the things said concerning Jesus are not the same things you're going to be saying concerning your child. Praise God. You know, because as Christians today, we also receive words, prophecies for children while they are still in the womb. However, the things said about Jesus are very distinct. Praise God. Very peculiar. Jesus is seen as the fulfillment of the promise of God made to all men. Hallelujah. Made to us all. The promise of God. Glory to God. The promise of God. So we must resound this truth that Jesus came for a particular purpose. And if a man celebrates his birth, if a man rejoices at his birth, if a man is glad that a Messiah was born and he does not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah or does not understand the essence of his work, of his sacrifice, then such a man is still lost and doomed. Praise God. Such a man is lost and doomed. Such a man is enjoying and eating and marrying and drinking away an opportunity to be saved. Praise God. Look at the things said leading to the birth of Jesus. That's what we're seeing. When Zechariah and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, look at what John the Baptist said. Luke chapter 1. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 67. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Hallelujah. Have you seen? He's talking about the birth of Jesus. He has visited and redeemed his people. Of course, he puts it in the past tense because he's prophesying. He's talking about the essence or the outcome, the consequence of what Jesus had come to do. Praise God. The consequence of the work of Christ. He says he has visited to redeem his people. So the birth of Jesus is significant because at that point in time, God had come into the world of man. God had come into the world of humanity. God had come in the midst of men for the purpose of redemption. Hallelujah. For the purpose of redemption. Glory to God. For the purpose of redemption. Look at John chapter 1. Look at how John puts this here. God was found in the midst of men for one reason, the purpose of redemption. John in chapter 1, I'll read from verse 14. Bible says, and the word became flesh. Or let me read from verse 8. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Speaking about John the Baptist, verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10, it was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. Have you seen? This is God in the flesh. For what reason? To redeem his people. Hallelujah. Not just Israel, to redeem the entire world. Jesus is God made manifest in the flesh for the purpose of redemption. Hallelujah. That's why verse 11 says, he came to his own did not receive him, but as many, whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, made no difference, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Hallelujah. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. They were born of God, men born of the Spirit of Christ. So have you seen that there are things said leading to the birth of Jesus, which are very significant things? Amen. Luke chapter 1 again. Look at verse 69. Bible says, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. This is about John the Baptist. Is the horn of salvation. That is, the one that was sounding the trumpet and sounding the alarm concerning the Christ. Praise God. It was bearing witness to him. Now, verse 70, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Have you seen again that Zechariah is re-echoing or restating what Mary said? That the coming of Jesus is for the fulfillment of the mercy that God promised to their fathers. And to remember his holy covenant, verse 72, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Praise God. So that means these men actually knew that there was a promise given to Abraham. Praise God. These things were passed down from one generation to another generation by oral tradition. They communicated it from generation to generation. They knew. Hallelujah. They knew. In fact, if you read through the Gospels very well, you discover that the Jews knew that there was a Messiah to come. Praise God. In fact, not just the Jews, even Gentile nations surrounding them knew that there was a promise made to the children of Israel. And you see, that's why the woman that Jesus met by the well, the Samaritan woman, said this. Look at John chapter 4, verse 25. He said, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Praise God. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, I will speak to you, I'm he. So they were expecting a Messiah, not just the Jews, even the Gentile nations. Praise God. They had heard about this promise from them. Glory to God. So everybody knew that there was a promise, that there was a Messiah to come into the world. In fact, if you look at the opposition against Jesus, it was not so much about the fact that whether there was a Messiah or not. No, they knew that there was a Messiah. The problem was that they did not believe that Jesus was that Christ. Hallelujah. That Jesus was the Christ. So, who do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say, you know, all kinds of things. But who do you say that I am? Peter speaking, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Praise God. You see, that's the revelation. That was the only thing the Jews were finding difficult to receive or to admit. They knew that the Messiah was to come. Praise God. Those guys were very confused. At John chapter 7, verse 52, some of them said, no prophet ever came out of Galilee. I don't know when God told them that there's a particular region for choosing prophets. They were very confused, guys. Praise God. Now, at John chapter 7 verse 27, some of them even said that, see, we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, nobody is going to know where he's from. They were expecting a Messiah that would just drop from heaven, not one that is born of a woman. Now, listen, there was now another crowd at John chapter 9, praise God, at John chapter 9, that says, see, we know that God spoke to Moses, John 9, 29. As for this fellow, we do not know where he's from. You know, some said, we know where he's from. That's the reason why he's not the Christ. These ones are saying, we don't know where he's from. That's why he's not the Christ. Some said, because he's from Galilee. Praise God. Because he's from Galilee, he cannot be the Christ. They were very confused guys. Glory be to God. So back to Luke chapter 1. Praise God. You see that there was a promise given. And then these guys are saying that the birth of Jesus is significant as the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise of God. Hallelujah. So we must let the world know that there's a promise to be received. There's a fulfillment of a promise to be received. It is the gift of eternal life. It is the offer of life in Christ Jesus. That this is the reason why Jesus was born. We must let men know that beyond the universal or global celebration or acknowledgement of the birth of Jesus, God wants men to globally and universally receive the blessedness of the cross. Hallelujah. In him, the nations of the world are blessed. Hallelujah. That's exactly what God is looking for. Praise God. It is not so much about men just marrying and celebrating and acknowledging that Jesus was born. No, God wants men to come to the knowledge of the truth and to receive salvation. God wants men saved. That's why Jesus came. His birth is significant. His birth is significant. Jesus is not just like every other child. Praise God. We must let people know this, that his birth is so significant, it has a universal effect. Praise God. See, people are born in different places in the world and their birth is not significant because it's not universally significant because it won't affect everybody. Praise God. There are people you will never meet and their existence does not in any way add or remove from your life. But Jesus is not one of such people. Praise God. His birth has an impact on the lives of everybody. Whether you met him physically or not, location, distance, time is not a barrier. The blessedness of Jesus cuts across dispensation. It cuts across times. It cuts across cultural settings. It cuts across geographical location. Praise God. He contacted humanity in his death and resurrection. All men can be saved because Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. By faith in the same. Hallelujah. So it's an opportunity to bring men into the knowledge of this truth. Look at the things said concerning the birth of Jesus. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, we're still reading. Look at verse 76. Bible says, and you child will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Have you seen that men are sitting in darkness? Outside Jesus, men are in darkness. Forget the fact that people have 24 hours light in US or Dubai or any other place. There's a darkness upon the world. There's a darkness upon the face of the earth that is only taken away by the light of the gospel of Christ. It is spiritual. Hallelujah. Men are in darkness. Men are in darkness. There's a darkness to be dreaded. There's a darkness to be feared. There's a darkness to attend and urgently address. Much more than physical darkness. It is spiritual darkness. It is the darkness of a heart void of the knowledge of Christ. A darkness of the heart void of the knowledge of God. Darkness of the heart that is alienated from the life of God. Hallelujah. It is good. The world is doing its best to eliminate, you know, lack of power supply. It is very good. I love it. You should love it too. Praise God. It is a very commendable thing. However, you and I must realize that there's a darkness that is worse than that. Praise God. See, if they don't get to fix power, the worst that will happen is that we'll tarry like this. We'll wait till we die or till Jesus comes. We'll go home and we'll be in a place where there will never be darkness. There will never be day or night anymore. And then we are enjoying light perpetually because Christ will be our light in that place. That will be the worst. But if a man has 24 hours light, power supply, and eventually dies without Jesus, he's going to a place of utter darkness forever and ever. Hallelujah. You know, that's what Jesus describes as being cast into outer darkness. A place of darkness and doom and gloominess for life. Praise God. So there's a darkness to attend to urgently. It is the darkness in the hearts of men. Bible says it is Jesus. Hallelujah. It is Jesus that has come to give light to those who sit in darkness. Praise God. You find a lot of people, they can't walk freely at night. They are afraid. Such men sometimes are in spiritual darkness and they are at ease. Praise God. Isn't that interesting? That an unsaved man is in spiritual darkness but is at ease. Feeling like nothing is at stake, nothing is wrong. He's so at ease. He's feeling at home. Praise God. But then at night, he's feeling unrest. He's feeling an unrest. He's locking his gate. He's panicking. He doesn't want anybody to come and, you know, he's feeling insecure in the night hour of the day. Praise God. In the night hour of every day. But then he's in spiritual darkness and he's at peace. Praise God. Not the peace of God now, but I mean, there's no unrest. He's at ease because nobody has told him that, see, you are in darkness and you need to be brought out of darkness. Nobody has taken the gospel to him to show him and to reveal to him that he's in need of an urgent salvation. Praise God. He's in need of an urgent rescue. You are in darkness. Hallelujah. The birth of Jesus, look at what was said, that it is the coming of Jesus that gives light to those who sit in darkness. Glory to God. So let's go out this season. Let's engage men this season. Let's take advantage. Let's maximize every gathering, every opportunity to hang out, every opportunity for people to, you know, come around and dine, merry, rejoice with us and celebrate with us. Let's take advantage of those times to shed light on the hearts of men. Hallelujah. You and I know that the devil doesn't go on vacation. This Christmas period, his deception is still top-notch. He's still going about deceiving men, blindfolding men from seeing the truth. You and I have been set in this world as light. Hallelujah. As light. And we must shine the light of the gospel. We must let the world know who Jesus is, the purpose of his birth. We must take advantage of every time. Glory to God. Now, preaching the gospel is not for Christmas alone. This is something you should have been doing before today. But in case you've not been doing it, then you can redefine the essence of your living from the scriptures. You exist here as a light to shine light upon the hearts of men. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, how that if the gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has veiled, has blinded, lest the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. So we see that there's a blindfolding happening in the world. There's a blindfolding. There's a veil covering the hearts of men. And you and I have this rare privilege. We've been saddled with a unique and rare responsibility or task to bring men from darkness into light, to break the power of the evil one over the hearts of men by the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. What are you going to do at this festive period? What are you going to do on this occasion of Christmas? Are you going to take advantage of every opportunity, of every point of contact? Are you going to shine the light of the gospel in your sphere of contact and influence, amongst your relatives, your family members, amongst your friends, at your workplace? Are you going to take advantage of this season to shine the light of the gospel, to shine the light of the word? Hallelujah. To inform people accurately from the scriptures about the essence and the purpose of Jesus' coming into this world. Are you going to take advantage of this time? Or are you going to begin to eat and drink and merry away every opportunity to get men saved? Are you going to be eating and drinking away every opportunity to bring men into the knowledge of the truth? You have a choice to make. I want to counsel you. I want to admonish you. I want to encourage you. I want to implore you to make this season count for Jesus. Hallelujah. If we say Jesus is the reason for the season, it must be indeed. Not just in our words. It must be indeed. We must publicize Jesus. Hallelujah. What did I say? We have to do what? We must publicize Jesus. We must publish the good news. We must announce it radically. We must do it strategically. Hallelujah. We must be found at our duty post in this season. Jesus must be known. He must be known. He must be known. People must know why he came. They must know the essence of his death and resurrection. Our lips must declare it. Hallelujah. Our lips must be found declaring it. On the mountain, in the valley, everywhere, in the corners of the room, we must be telling men about what Jesus has come to do. This is another opportunity. I'm telling you, is another opportunity. Your friends, your relatives, your family members. This is a very serious opportunity. A very strategic opportunity that comes once in a year, most times, or just twice. It comes like that, where you have people coming around you for celebration. Praise God. Now, some of you may not even have people coming around you, but you can go on the streets and preach to men in the spirit of Christmas. You must know how to bet a conversation around the coming of Jesus and show them the essence of what they are celebrating. You can go into the world, into the streets, and do what Paul did at Athens. You know, Paul got to Athens and he saw them worshiping the unknown God. A lot of people are celebrating Christmas, like we've said, without understanding why Jesus came. So seize this opportunity and say the one you are celebrating without knowing, he might declare to you. Hallelujah. The one you are celebrating without knowing, he might declare to you. And begin to unravel to them the blessedness and the riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll continue this study, this teaching, this charge and exhortation. The Christian at Christmas. Invite your friends, relatives, family members, anybody at all. And let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.